Welcome to Our Thoughts Tonight. Join us as we chat in a mellow mood about music, philosophy, psychology, and anything else that will come to mind. Enjoy.
And we are live, everyone.
Welcome back, everybody,
to Our Thoughts Tonight.
Our Thoughts Tonight.
Ashik is here.
Hello.
And Zach is here. And I am your host, Alex Trebek.
Wow. That was...
I almost messed that one up. How is everybody? This is let's say this is really season 3, episode 1 now.
Yeah.
Since we're finally
season 3
in the mood.
Back on air.
First episode since Sean's passing in the last episode.
Yep. It's been a few months.
Take time.
Almost 3 months.
I think it was February 2nd or 3rd. Yeah. So in a few days. That's crazy.
I still can't believe it.
No, yeah. I think I dreamed of Sean the other day. I forget. But
for those who are wondering what we're talking about, that was our co-host that passed away earlier this year. And that was the last episode we did, was a tribute to him.
Yeah.
So you can go back and listen to that. But we are back for season 3, episode 1. And of course, we're going to open this up with Crucem Sanctam, as always.
Crucem Sanctam.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everybody. Tonight's topic. Oh, Zach, you want to say hi?
Hello.
Tonight's topic, I guess our thoughts tonight. We should have mentioned it earlier.
It's a very true to yeah. our thoughts tonight. Yeah. We don't really have a... We do have a topic, but yeah. it's kind of on a whim.
It's literally our thoughts tonight.
Yeah, it is our thoughts tonight.
Oh, wow. That's kind of... We failed our title until today. this is going to... Let's do some podcast versus podcast drama. Tonight we'll be talking about Joe Rogan. For you know, we'll get into some other stuff too. But tonight we're primarily concerned about something that happened with Joe Rogan. Maybe Joe Rogan's in general. So what happened?
So earlier this week, let's pull up an article so I can give you a good summary, and then we're gonna give you our thoughts on it. It says. Podcast host Joe Rogan clarifies vaccination comments. Yeah. I think earlier this week he was said he made some comments. In that episode, Joe Rogan told listeners that he would not suggest the vaccine to healthy 21-year-old. To a healthy 21-year-old. If you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, like... I don't think you need to worry about this, he said. Responding to the criticism on his podcast on Thursday, Rogan said the argument that young people need the vaccine for other people made sense. But that's a different argument, he added. So he's saying that old people need it more. So, you know, if you're a healthy 21-year-old, you might not need to take it.
That's still not right. Like, you could say that old people need it more, but you don't have to say they don't need to take it. You can totally still need to take it.
He could have clarified that, or maybe he did clarify. I didn't listen to the whole episode.
Yeah, the thing, literally what you just said about Fauci, it's like you can still transmit it. You know, even if you're not gonna, you know, have the effects, you're still gonna transmit it. So,
oh yeah, so yeah. He's thinking in terms of it affecting you.
I mean, yeah. No, even then, like, there's been healthy people, healthy 21-year-olds and whatnot, who've had the effects on it of it. So it's like, that's just wrong. That's just wrong.
What do you think? Like, do you guys think that he was thinking when he said that shit?
Thinking.
Or, I mean, do you think he was realizing what the heck, like, what people were going to think about it?
Like think of the reactions that people would have about that?
Or do you think that he thought it through and did he think that people were going to go off on him about this?
I guess not, but then again, he said weird stuff over the years, I think, that, like, I think he's used to it, you know, to, like he had that, I don't know, if, like, a year ago now, that video game comment that got him a little bit of backlash. I'm sure to him it was common sense, so sure.
What was the comment?
He was like, video games waste your life or something like that, and everybody piled on him. It's like, he was basically saying that, like...
Well, he's not wrong.
Well, it's not wrong, but at the same time, it's... doesn't make any sense because it's just a hobby, right? He was basically saying that, like,
it's like saying movies are a waste of time.
Yeah, it's like, sure, but it's like,
there's a different intensity to gamers. I'm not saying it's a waste of life, because everything is a waste of life.
I've actually learned a lot from video games, but, like, he was basically saying that, like, oh, if you do, like, martial arts as a hobby, you're actually learning something. But at the same time, like, obviously it depends on the games and whatnot, but, like, you don't need to do that stuff to, like,
oh yeah,
it's
okay.
Just a hobby.
Being an athletic person doesn't make you more of a person than somebody that plays video games.
Athletics is important. No, that's for sure. I'm just saying that, like, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Like, of course you're going to get something from athletics, but, like, it doesn't mean you have to throw video games away. It's like, if you like it, you like it.
I'd argue, like, if you're super into video games, or if you're into athletics to the point, like, you're a freak, you know, it's the same thing. You know, if you overdo you overdo something, realistically.
That's fair. Yeah, absolutely. And things, I get Joe Rogan's comment. Like, I would technically say that if you're more of more into athletics, like, let's say you're two people, they're both, like, really into their stuff. Yeah, the guy with the into athletics is probably doing a better job, right? But at the same time, it's like, on a regular basis, like, it's not really much of an issue, you know? Like,
who really cares?
I mean,
cares?
Some people go into, like, professional gaming. And I guess most people don't. It's just whatever, you know? Like you said, it's like movies. It can be a waste of time.
Yeah. People say music's a waste of time.
Music can be a waste of time.
That shit pisses me off.
But the thing is, everything has value in it. Like, you learn stuff from movies. You learn stuff from music. You learn stuff from video games.
And if you enjoy yourself.
It's literally entertainment. It's just entertainment.
Those are all the things I love.
Yeah. Like, fucking reading, like... I don't know, some young teen drama book. That's a waste of time, I guess. It's like, whatever.
That's just some shit capitalists came up with to get people to work more. You know, if you're not working, if you're not doing something productive for the economy or your job or whatever, in their eyes, that means that you're wasting your time.
Well, then again, you could say you definitely want, as a capital, if you're a crony capitalist, you definitely would want the perpetuation of video games because money. I mean,
yeah,
you can argue that. I mean, it depends on, you know, what you're into, but
depends on your job title.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're
what you're in charge of.
Yeah, if you're fucking, you know, video game CEO.
Ubisoft,
yeah,
Ubisoft. Yeah, and you buy games, want everyone to play every fucking Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, it was a weird comment. I get where it was coming from. Yeah, that's the whole thing with wasting time. Why does everything you have to do have to have a
wasted
purpose?
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's the capitalist mindset. Yeah. It's like, and it's also very, like, every generation prior to us is very, you know, very much that mentality that you're wasting your time and everything should be some sort of pursuit of happiness.
A lot of parents used to say, like, you're wasting your time playing video games. And like you said, now you can get paid to have people watch you play video games or get paid big checks because you're playing, like, League of Legends or something like that, and you actually make money.
Yeah.
And you get sponsors, too.
This is a variety of games. Like, the video games I play, I've learned so much from the games like EU4 and a Total War series. Like, half the shit I know from history are from games. Like, it's and the thing is, these are, like, historically accurate games, and that sure the same goes for any other thing. Mm-hmm. The thing you're talking about, like, the whole capitalist mentality is really interesting because it's reminding me of, like, alienation and, like, in Marxism, where it's like the whole, I think we've talked about this a few weeks ago, where it's like the whole idea of alienation, or not, like, the part of alienation in Marxism is to You sort of create this communistic, you know, utopia or whatever, and people have more time to do what they want, right? So, like, it's funny how it's contrasted with the whole capitalistic mindset where you have to kind of work, you know, like, you know, don't waste time, you know, get your head in the game, whatever. And on the opposite side, it's like, try to have some time for yourself. I don't know. It's a funny like little distinction.
Yeah, 2 days of
about
week.
Free time. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Two days of the week to have time for yourself. And well, nine thing, times out of 10, you're like too tired to do anything.
But that's the thing. Like free time is literally the basis of everything we have historically. Mm-hmm. Like civilization began with division of labor, right? And with division of labor, you got more time for people to do stuff. So people did do whatever they wanted. And that's where things like mm-hmm. art and all this other stuff happened, you know, in Sumer and all that.
But
so,
it doesn't work in the contemporary or advanced capitalism.
I think it totally can. The whole point is I think more free time is great because it perpetuates stuff.
No, I'm saying in the current system we're in, we don't get that.
Oh, yeah. No. Hell no.
Some people do, but...
In a way we do, but it's like... The free time we put other things in there and then they become like new responsibilities.
Yeah.
So they're really, yeah, you're right. There's no,
like, you know, your dogs or your kids or your project that you have to catch up on because you were working X amount of hours for the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes the day that you have to, like, your first day off, you have to catch up. Uh-huh. With everything.
And
then your second day off, you're too drained to do anything that would be considered like free time.
Seriously. Like I've been like slow. I slowed down on my story because of like just school and everything. It's annoying. Mm-hmm. It's actually also reminding me of it's not too much of a connection, but like surrogate activities. Like, okay, it's not an Arthas and I episode without mentioning Kaczynski, but the whole thing with like surrogate activities where it's like you kind of like you have all your basic needs met. So you just kind of create your own hobbies and that those become your new drives. Mm-hmm. So it's like these days, those drives in and of themselves are becoming like responsibilities, right? Like your project.
That's how my YouTube channel is.
Yeah. So... I mean, then again, those are.
I enjoy it, but I feel the pressure sometimes, like when I'm behind.
Yeah,
it's like when weekend time comes, you're like, okay, it's my days off, but your days off should really be labeled crunch time.
No, because
that's
pretty much. No, you're right. I agree with you. 100%.
It's crunch time because it's the time that you're trying to fit all of the things that you need to do, and things you need to take care of, in a span of 2 days.
Yeah,
you know, and then you're like, okay, now I'm back at work.
Yeah, I mean, it could be fulfilling, but the thing is, like. There is a lack of that just fund. I don't want to sound like a conservative, but that fundamental just freedom of nothingness. Yeah. You know, like you just wake up and be like, okay, what am I going to do today? That doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. You know, like, what am I going to do today?
But another thing too, though, like when coronavirus first hit and then like all of us weren't working for like a month, you know, and when you have too much time, you don't know, and you did all the things you have. You finished all the projects that you wanted to finish and like, let's say the crunch time, two to three days. Right. And then you still got like the rest of the month and you're like, what the fuck do I do with myself?
I mean, I enjoy that, but
you know what I mean? But like, there'll be days, not every day, but there'll be a day in between the days we are doing stuff where you're like,
Man, that's actually.
I kind of want to go to work.
You're actually hitting on, I think, alienation. Actually.
Yeah, but I feel like it's because like it's been like pounded and implanted into your head for so long that like this is what you do. This is your structural foundation, right? And then when they take that away, and then you're just like, well, I have actual freedom.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
no. But
now what do I do?
That's literally.
I didn't have that problem at all.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know what the fuck.
I learned a bunch of things. I was like, oh, I did all the things I want to do. And I like learned ukulele and started painting and stuff. Like, but you find new hobbies to fill the time.
But that little space where you get that free time after so much work, that's literally alienation. You're so attached to work as your identity that you're alienated from everything else, what it means to be human.
I'll tell you what. I don't want to cut you off. Sorry.
That's pretty much it. But.
I'll tell you what. After the initial quarantine, I think it was like March of last year. Yeah. When we came back to work, I realized how much I couldn't do it anymore. Like, okay, so if it's something fulfilling, something I truly want to do on my own, and like something more fulfilling than what I do now, I can see working at it 9 hours a day when it's like a career or something, and there's no ceiling. But currently, I realize like I don't want to do this. So I can't imagine everybody else that was on top of it broke. I was fortunate not to be broke. But people that are broke and then go back to some two-bit job working for a system, I think people really realized, they had the revelation that they don't want to be this 9-to-5 garbage, because spending time in your home thinking, doing things about things that you've wanted to take care of for months and years is pretty nice. And
having the time,
not just the rich people should have the possibility of that.
Yeah, no, COVID was incredibly enlightening. Oh man, there comes this guy.
Should we take a short break?
Yeah, let's take a short break. I have something to say, but
we'll be right back. Yeah. We are back.
We're back.
Sorry about that. We had to leave abruptly.
I had something to say. Crap.
I got something to say.
We have a joiner here, our friend Eddie. First time joining on the podcast, I believe. I don't know if he's going to talk, but...
Do you want to say hi?
He's just watching. He's listening tonight.
Well, we have a new character to the Arthas Knight lore.
Yeah.
lore.
Yeah. what were we talking about?
Oh, yeah. You said it was enlightening. Coronavirus was enlightened.
Yeah, coronavirus. Yeah, like seriously, like with also with, like, even the concept of money, like this, you know, the government that's printing out money and stuff, and then you had this whole like
quantitative easing.
Yeah, and then you had this like revelation of like, crap, we can totally have time, and the country can still be fine.
Actually, you know, like spending time in your house that you pay rent for like longer than a day or two.
Yeah,
it's nice.
It's crazy.
Super nice.
I've listened to so many records.
Actually, speaking of paradigm shifts from a few weeks ago, if anything's gonna push a paradigm shift in terms of like values, coronavirus.
What values do you think?
Oh man, like any sort of like like literal value on some sort of like financial spectrum. You can say values of hard work, values of comfort. I think all these things are like changing in terms of how we view them. Even like, obviously hygiene, that's huge. But yeah, I think like it's actually crazy how much it just changes. Yeah. You know, or not even that, personal distance, like social spheres, the idea of being social in general. It's like when I see online, like, you know, videos from like whatever ago, like, I don't know, videos of parties or whatever, concerts, it's like, why are they doing that? It's like, but even though there was a coronavirus.
Are you talking about like the online concerts?
No, like the concerts in general, like, of being close to each other or whatever, like, any sort of like
during
large,
coronavirus.
No, before. So it's like, it's weird looking back at those things and being like, you know, why are they so close? Is it safe? Even though there was no coronavirus, it's kind of weird. So
I think about like any old movie pre-coronavirus, I'm like, they're not wearing masks.
Yeah, yes, same.
Yeah.
It's definitely weird.
You guys ever been in line and had that, or not a lady, in my situation it was an old lady, but just a person where you're like standing in line and they got those stickers on the ground that are exactly like five or six feet apart or whatever, and then that person the person in front of you in the line is just like double checking, like looking over their shoulders to make sure you're standing on the sticker. They move like a foot forward. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, I noticed that like the first quarantine.
That's what I'm talking about. It was that time.
Yeah, I was at Famous Footwear buying new shoes for whatever reason, and there was like arrows on the ground as markers, and there was like an in and an out section. Yeah, I was like, this is like a dystopian novel. It kind of seemed like that because we didn't know when it was going to end.
Yeah.
And that was the bad part.
Especially, I remember around winter or whatever, when it started to get worse or something. I remember going to like Walmart, and it was like snowing or raining. It was like dark and like, you know, the speakerphone or whatever, like it's just blaring, like, be sure to wear your mask and all this stuff. And it's just like, we have a clothes and whatever. So, and then like...
That was a great impression of Walmart.
Yeah, and me and Amy are trying to like rush inside, and it's like super cold. And
that
all this
stuff
rain.
Is weird. That megaphone is strange.
Yeah, megaphone. Everyone's wearing masks. It was like, we were like, it feels like the end of the world. Like, we're just all cold, all dark, like megaphones. Everyone's distancing from each other.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Megaphones are tight, though. My dad owns one.
So, yeah. Back to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, we've kind of spit it out.
I want to think about this for a second. I can tie this into the coronavirus. I think Joe Rogan is somebody that has been such a careerist his entire life. And I don't know him personally. I'm just making an assumption here. So I'll open with that at least. So if he does hear this. But he seems like he's been such a careerist his whole life, going from like Fear Factor to the UFC to this and that, that he hasn't taken time to sit and actually think about his values and his ethics. So that's why he's so flexible with all these people that come on a show. And you know, you can't pinpoint the guy's politics or anything.
I don't know about if he had time to do it. I don't know. I feel like of what he said... Right. And the thing is, the problem is he said so much stuff. Right. But I think you can sort of pinpoint his politics. Right. He seems like, this is his own literal words, he's a leftist. Right. At least what he categorized himself as. He just says so much other stuff that's like, OK, he's never really called himself conservative, I don't believe. Right. He's called himself socialist.
He's pretty conservative.
The thing is, that's exactly. He thinks he's word for word said, I'm kind of like a socialist, but he's never said he's a conservative. But a lot of the things he said are kind of conservative, right? And some other stuff he said is kind of leftist, so whatever. I think he's just an intaker of information, and I don't know if he even actually has any beliefs, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like,
I think he does.
I mean, it's just hard to
tell. He's probably a neoliberal,
he loves,
if anything.
Compound
just individualist.
I think he would deny that, but I think essentially
sports
he would.
And like comedy, like those are his.
I'm like, yeah, he's
those aren't any like those are his hobbies.
Yeah. I mean, he does have,
those but that's
he's
values.
In politics.
Yeah, but like even with his opinion, like, oh, if you're 21 and you're in the gym, like it correlates to, you know what I mean? Like it always has to do.
Yeah,
with,
no, you're right. That if you're 21 and you're in the gym, that's his idea of a successful person.
Yeah,
I would say he's a neoliberal. He's a rampant like individualist. he wants, and also, you know, he probably has shares in all kinds of companies. Yeah. Like, I think I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true, or, and I have shares in things, but like, I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, that he has stock in Tesla. That's why he talks about Tesla in such a positive light on his show.
Yeah.
I bet you he has stock in Spotify.
Yeah.
I agree. He's a careerist.
Yeah.
He's just, I'd say he's pretty neoliberal, like just trying to make money and also be an individualist, like stereotypical American.
Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect thing. A stereotypical American. That's pretty much as like exact as you can get. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, again, he does have like these weird outlying things that he says that like, that pivot into different directions.
During the Edward Snowden interview, yeah. I think the second one, they were talking about censorship on Twitter. Mm. And he was, even if somebody made like a hate speech about trans people, for instance, he didn't think it was worthy of censorship or anything. He was like aghast that they would do that. And I don't know what I believe about that either. I'm not saying I go one way or another. Because I haven't thought about it. I'll tell you, I don't want trans people being bullied or anything,
yeah, no.
But I haven't thought about the ethics enough to give like my point of view is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Obviously I would be leaning towards definitely censorship being okay in that situation, but
yeah, I mean, that's literally hate speech.
He was aghast.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably like, you know, I mean, that's a tough issue in a sense, whereas the whole like, this is typical freedom of speech kind of thing, but it's also like, it's you know, if it's hate speech, it's hate speech, you know? But if he's aghast at it, like, I don't know.
Because that's his libertarian, like, how dare you censor us in this country? It never says anything about private companies not being able to censor. You have the right to refuse service. The government, if the government comes and tells you not to do that, then you should be acting like that.
There's been like arguments about like, I don't know, viewing these, you know, forums or whatever as public, but they're not, you know, so they can do whatever they want. The thing is, I think Joe Rogan is like that. I think the best way you can really categorize him is somewhat fiscally leftist, barely, or maybe I should just say centrist, but like socially speaking, I guess he's pretty conservative, like, or center right.
I like him though, man. He's cool.
I mean, in terms of like,
I love his show.
In terms of his show, he's fine. He's
entertaining. I'm sure he's cool.
He's a funny comedian too. I mean, he's like friends with Dave Chappelle, so
yeah.
And again, it could be a personality. We don't know.
I mean, the essence of Joe Rogan is a dude, bro. Like that's what he is, essentially. So whatever that entails, that's what it is. Yeah. There's other times where like he criticizes actually his opponent sometimes. A few times he does that. So at least he has some, you know, background, I guess, some oomph. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, the thing is, he garners such a large audience that says something in and of itself. So
what the hell is that about? Why do so many people like his show?
Because he invites everybody. I don't know. That's great. That's a good
question. Like the guests he brings on.
Yeah, he does have like a string of great guests. Yeah. That's for sure. But initially, before he got those people on, as often as he did, I mean, now every week it's a good person, it's a good guest, and it has been for a long time.
Yeah.
But how the hell did he get to that point where he was able to do that? Good PR.
Yeah,
probably
money.
I mean, you know, it's a whole like
fear factor.
What's the word?
Fear factor.
UFC.
UFC. You're right. Yeah.
And he was what is it called? Announcer or whatever for UFC too. He worked for them.
Uh huh.
I don't know if he was in that. What is it called when they're like basically narrating the fight as it happens?
Yeah, and an announcer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
Was he on WWE at any point?
Not that I'm aware.
There's somebody that sounds just like him that narrates those fights.
Yeah.
That meme where he's just like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Let's talk about, before we move on from Joe Rogan. Let's talk about what is your idea of the typical Joe Rogan audience, like member? Oh. Just think, when you think Joe Rogan listener, who do you think of?
Exactly. That's him. Yeah. Like exactly him.
Joe Rogan?
I mean, it pretty much is like, Yeah, like you're gonna get. No, actually, I'll take that back.
People are like to fight and shoot compound bows.
I would say almost. I would say people who want to do that stuff, but that don't. I feel like it's just incels. I feel like it's literally just like people who are conservative. Like, from what I've seen from the comments, right? They're either libertarian or they're center right. By center right, I mean just right.
Everything's so
they don't hunt. I wouldn't say they hunt or anything like that. They don't do all the activity that Joe Rogan's into.
Gather, damn it.
I think they support that stuff. I think they pretend they do, but I don't think they actually do it. Right.
Some of them got to.
I mean, they have to. Yeah. Some of them.
Percentage.
No, some of them got to. But like the typical viewer, I think, is just internet trolls, dude. Like, I mean, that's the vibe I get. Because like,
so white men.
Yeah,
in their 20s, 30s, early 40s.
Just
you're looking at one.
No, but it's different. Like, if you've seen his comments, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, like
I like his comedy too. Like I liked his stand up comedy before he had a podcast. Like,
yeah, his comedy's not too bad actually. Yeah,
I like that. And I don't know, like I already knew of him before, you know. So I guess
what's your idea?
His fan base is like pretty much anyone that knows him from Fear Factor up until his podcast.
That's true.
And
true.
It could be like fighters or just people.
But I know him TV. And I know him, but I'm not like watching the Joe Rogan podcast.
I did for a while, but I don't know, I kind of like leaned off of it.
Yeah.
He is likable.
Like, yeah, he is. Yeah. There's like just so many podcasts. Damn, I'm on one
right
now.
There's so many.
We're one of the many.
He does come across as a nice guy. That's for sure.
He seems cool as fuck.
I remember, did you watch the episode where like he invited Tyson, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah.
And Tyson, I kind of like, hate the guy too.
I can't stand him.
Like,
honestly.
He just interrupts everybody. And then like he's you could tell Joe Rogan was, as a nice guy,
really?
Joe Rogan was like, he didn't say anything, but you could tell he was visibly pissed. He was like,
no way.
Like, seriously, it's fucking Tyson, dude. Fuck that guy. I mean, I'm, you know, whatever.
But if you were studying space and he was your partner next to you, he'd be like,
Tyson?
What's up, Tyson?
Yeah.
I bet you actual astrophysicists and stuff like that think he's a fucking joke.
No, seriously. He's just like a, you know, he's
Bill Nye.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Nye's awesome, though.
Bill Nye's better than fucking. Yeah,
Bill,
definitely.
Bill.
Okay.
Yeah,
wait.
I want to say something about the whole audience thing. I think we're leaving out Joe Rogan's like large DMT thing.
Oh,
like his large just drug audience. Like,
can
that's
we come back to that?
That's really integral to Joe Rogan. Yeah.
We got, and I wanna, we're gonna read some comments from like a Joe Rogan YouTube video just to.
It's a random one. Yeah, some Shapiro,
but before I want to give you guys, like, when I think Joe Rogan, I think, or Joe Rogan's fan base, I think. People that think Elon Musk's futurism is like legitimate. I mean, I like Elon Musk a little bit, but people think he's like this futuristic, like
Tony
cool
Stark.
Guy, you know, like a Tony Stark type weirdo, but he's just a capitalist that takes credit for the engineers that work for him in a lot of ways. And also does all other kinds of sketchy deals.
He also has weird tweets every now and then.
Yeah, he's bizarre. Yeah. So people think like his retro futurism is legitimate because he tweets like normal people.
It's surface. It's just surface.
Or, I mean,
level.
Not retro futurism. I mean futurism. Sorry.
It's that whole it's like that that skeptic community almost. It's just surface level knowledge. It's surface level. Oh, I'm edgy because I know because I'm into Elon Musk, or oh look at me, I know. Oh man, you wonder about like. You know, DMT and like, oh my god, something about like the brain, you know, it's all
the Neuralink.
Neuralink
is probably awesome if it works and everything, but I mean, like being obsessed with Neuralink because Elon Musk owns it as a personality nowadays.
It's just weird. I see that kind of stuff and I'm like, just go to college. Like
just go to college.
I don't know. Like because, you know, people have a drive to learn and stuff. So I see it.
Yeah. But then you have Elon Musk saying, I don't hire people with degrees, or you don't need a degree.
Just validating.
So they're like, fuck that. I'm not going to school.
God. Yeah. That's the same time people who like look at memes about like Einstein like failed math. It's like that's not even true, one, but like two, that those BS like theories of like oh man, Bill Gates, he failed college. Guess what, people who got degrees in college
out.
Work for him now. It's like all this BS stuff. It's like
he had capital because his parents were loaded.
It's just
George Bush got a C in college.
Yeah, George Bush used to do coke.
Yeah.
But his dad was president.
George Bush Sr.
God.
All right, so let's take a break on Joe Rogan. Yeah. We'll let him cool down.
Going back to DMT, though.
Yeah, we'll be back with DMT and comments from the Joe Rogan show.
Oh, my God.
So first, we're going to talk about Joe Rogan's fixation on hallucinogens and DMT, and then we will go over some comments on the videos of the Joe Rogan podcast and see what we think of the viewers or what we can gather, what psychoanalysis we can do.
Audience, yeah.
So DMT.
Again, that's the whole thing, right? So they think they're like uncovering truths, right? So again, DMT is mysterious. I'm not gonna go against it in a certain sense. But like all the stuff he talks about DMT is just like, it's just surface level. Like it's just surface level, dude.
What does he say about it? I know he did a documentary or something about it.
Did he? Oh wow! I think
he was a part of it or something.
Yeah. I don't know. He talks about like, there's a whole thing with DMT. It's like, oh man, like when the brain does some stuff in the pineal gland, and that's where like Descartes said that's the entrance to like the mind. Like, oh, you know, it's all like mysterious and pineal gland releasing DMT. And like, sure, buddy, but it's like, I don't know. Like, as someone who like studies philosophy, that's just like, dude, that's like whatever. Like, who cares, dude? Like, that's like so unfounded in anything. Like, maybe, man. Like, maybe, but like,
wait. So it's unfounded and it's immaterial because
it What do you mean?
Like so it's irrelevant.
It's just, I mean, it's cool. It's just, it's really just, it's speculative and that's fine. But it's just, it's supposed to be like this really grand revealing idea. You know, it's like, oh my God, the pineal gland
that you DMT. Touch, that you're one with God or whatever.
Yeah, like you are like, you know, he talks about like Descartes and the mind body distinction. How like he actually doesn't use those words because he doesn't know philosophy, but it's like, like where it's like you're supposed to enter the like the true essence of the mind is through the pineal gland. It's like, first of all, like that in itself is a big problem with dualism of the interaction problem. So if you're saying DMT, buddy, you saw like 300 years of philosophy, you know,
more than that.
So 400, yeah, 400, 500. So it's like, it's just a lot of nothing, you know? And you know, again, it's nice to speculate. I'm not against speculation or whatever. It's just, it's presented as this grand, this grand thing, but like, there's so much other stuff to look at if you're in that field. So
what is his idea of what DMT, like what is his take on it?
I think he's just curious that there's some sort of truth in it or something like that. Like that those things do actually, that there's something to it. Like there's something like, I don't know, afterlife, whatever you might want to call it. I don't know if he believes it, but I think he's kind of like interested in like, I think he's gartering towards believing it. I don't know if he actually does.
What did hold on? Let's ask Eddie.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Eddie's actually done DMT.
So wanna,
you don't have to talk into the mic, but what is your take on like what did you experience when you did DMT? I was there. I watched him do it. So let's hear. Okay, so this was years ago, or I can repeat it.
If you're in the mind sixes,
what kind of thing though?
You know, person to person, what they're trying to make
it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what Eddie said was, DMT can essentially lead you to some reality that you're seeking out. Yeah. That makes sense. Does that sound right? And also, alternatively, there are some people that just smoke DMT all the time and don't really know who they are anymore.
Yeah.
But I think like people say this about hallucinogens, and I think they're mysticized, from the past. Obviously, you know, generations have been using hallucinogens, but it's really become this mythical answer to like reality, like you're saying, like what Joe Rogan says, that's what people think it is through the counterculture of the 70s, especially, not so much in the 60s, maybe through like 67 forward, but really in the 70s when people were pushing it forward. But if you look at it, like George Harrison's a great example. George Harrison says, so like when he first did LSD, it was given by this dentist. Him and John and their wives were out, and this dentist drops LSD in their tea. They drink it and they start tripping hours later. Yeah. And George Harrison's like, I looked at the trees and I looked at the grass and I was like, that's it, man. That's all I need.
Yeah.
And he became spiritual from that point on.
Yeah.
But then as the Beatles progress and like the counterculture of the 70s and like the new communalism and all of that starts progressing, it starts getting out of hand and dirty and other drugs get involved and crime and overdose influxes. And George Harrison used to be around these people. And he says like, I had to stop doing that. And I had to back away from that scene because it was too much. And then I realized that you could actually find these things out without any hallucinogens. You just have to think and meditate. Yeah. They're all there.
Yeah.
It's a shortcut, realistically.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't think it's a good shortcut, personally.
I mean, I think it has effects. And I think is so, like, for example, like, you know, I'm not going to say anything, but like I feel like they're really good, helpful tools, especially in what you're into. Right.
Yeah, so, I think they're bad because people miss the point.
No, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of why I stopped. But like, you know, I studied philosophy and like they were extremely, you know, mind opening. These things are sort of, you shouldn't, you know, believe what you see, but the whole purpose, I think, is, or at least you should take it, is that it opens your mind to new possibilities in a very interesting way. And I think that opens up whatever other discoveries you can have, right? And so that's extremely helpful, I think, in a lot of different things. I think it's same thing with weed or whatever, and weed is a hallucinogen, but it's like it's really helpful in that aspect. But again, if you just take it too far and like either believe in the stuff that you see completely or just like, I mean, at the end of the day, these are they say these things are supposed to be almost medical in reality, right? So on an ethical way, or not ethical, like in a personal, you know, self-betterment way, yes, you can view them as medical, right? Because they can help. And if you're looking at for like, you know, inspiration or imagination or creation or whatever, it's like, sure, those they're also very helpful, you know? Yeah. But, you know, no one to stop. Yes, that's literally it. No one to stop. Yeah. You know, and don't believe the things that you see. Like, for example, like, you know, ceilings waving around, crazy. Does that mean like all, you know, everything is just like in reality waving around? No. But you can start thinking, okay, is that thing actually real? You can start thinking that without actually
happening.
Yeah, you can start.
Time, but my eyes can't perceive it.
Yeah, if you're, like, for example, you take whatever and you're like, okay, everything is in weird flux. Am I going to believe everything has some sort of spiritual essence? I don't need to, but I can start questioning, okay, what's my basis for believing in whatever, right? And that's, you know, that can help you, you know, go down that line. You know, going back to Joe Rogan, he also, there's other theories about like hallucinogens that are actually also possibly okay. Like, funnily enough, on his podcast, he had this one guy. He's like obsessed with mushrooms and like mushrooms in like human evolution. And again, it's kind of surface level stuff, so I don't really buy into it that much. But it's kind of interesting. It's like, what if early humans are like not even humans at that point? What if they took shrooms and it accelerated their evolution? Right? Interesting stuff, right? People take that and start to believe weird stuff about mushrooms because mushrooms are sort of intelligent organisms. So they start, you know, they'll take it to another route of like mushrooms being like the sentient god race, right? Okay, that's going too far. But fine, take the theory seriously. Does mushrooms actually do something? Do they actually do something with your brain to actually stimulate growth? You know, it's fine. But like people take it way too mystical, you know?
Yeah. Or you take it and eat it and go to a movie theater and can't stop laughing.
Or that
can happen.
Or walk in the middle of a forest and. Yeah.
Then what?
And
sit on a rock and stare at the trees.
I remember, yeah. I mean, most of my music is based off that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, just take what you can from it and leave.
I don't know. It's weird. I've had bad trips and good trips. Not on DMT, but like on acid. And I don't know. The first time I did it, like the next day, it was like kind of a refresher, like a restart button on your life. Because you, when you're going through the whole thing, you think a lot. You think about everything that's going on and everything that's around you.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like fucking praising any newfound gods or anything like that. I was like, man, I need to get my life together. Like,
it's like discipline. It's just like anything. Like
very much discipline.
If in external factor like somebody dying, like when Sean died, for instance. When Sean died, still actually to this day, I don't know what the hell to think about it because it blew my mind and it still is blowing my mind. I haven't thought it through enough yet.
Yeah.
And I want to. But I do know something immediate that happened is that I thought about Sean and what everyone was saying about him. They were speaking so highly of him. And suddenly I started, you know, getting into the things that he used to do, even though I was already into them, but the pieces he used to play and the books he used to read and the people he used to talk about, you know, I started paying more attention to them because that made me remember him. But that sort of an event forced me to like discipline or like ground myself, I should say.
Yeah.
And hallucinogens do that on any drug, even weed, coke, anything, alcohol. Like the next day after you're hungover, you're having this like impending doom feeling. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, to cut it short, you can achieve those things on your own without the effect of like an external figure or external factor like Sean dying or anybody dying or, you know, taking acid one day and the next day feeling fucked.
Yeah.
It's just like it's a matter of telling yourself that in a moment where you might be caught up in everything to ground yourself and it doesn't take anything to do it but your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. They're helpful, but you don't need to. I mean, the thing is that the essence of those, that's actually the real ironic thing about hallucinogens is it's in your head. A lot of the stuff that you're going through is already in you in a certain sense. Like all those realizations, I'm sure, are just deep down things that you already know. Like I'm convinced of that. Like
your subconscious.
Yeah, I mean, or you know, whatever, you know. But like, you know, a lot of the sort of supposed lessons or whatever I would learn from then is like, yeah, I was already having those thoughts anyway. It would just amplify through these things, you know. Yeah. So like, one time, personal revelations or whatever, right? Yeah. And these were all things I was already thinking about. So it's like, sure, that thing, you know, helped kick it in, and it was, I'm not going to say it was bad because I enjoyed it, and they had it, some stuff was regretful, but whatever. Yeah. And, but yeah, if, for example, if I had other sort of traits or more time or whatever, I'm sure I could have reached those same conclusions.
What was the next thing that we were going to do?
So we were going to read some comments. Yeah. From the Joe Rogan Show. Let's take a quick break, yep. Come back, and then we will do that. We're back.
We're back.
On our thoughts tonight. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Joe Rogan comments. So yeah. We're on YouTube, and what we're going to do is read a few of the comments and try to analyze what kind of a person would be watching this podcast of Joe Rogan's. And the video topic here is Jonathan Zimmerman on the importance of free speech.
Yeah, that came up like when I looked it up right now. Yeah.
Anyway, new studio looks a lot nicer now. More of a chill vibe to it.
It kind of reminds chill me of vibe. Like Emperor Palpatine's office in episode 3.
Oh, it does. Sids.
Yeah.
Wait.
You see the full clip of like his office and like the lighting behind Joe Rogan.
I'm looking at it. Anyway, I'll check it out later.
Yeah, you just see a red curtain.
Yeah, it's just the red curtain. Is that the one though?
I'm pretty sure it's that one. Yeah.
When people say they want to ban hate speech, what they mean is they want to ban the speech they hate.
Okay. All right. I guess I can already guess, but okay.
This person has a bear as their avatar. Takes a special face to look like it's sleeping and singing protest songs at the same time.
What the hell?
That's pretty funny.
Okay. Kind of reruns for so far.
The way Joe pitches Spotify at the end of these clips always reminds me of a guy trying to get you to open a bank account at the bank that's inside of a supermarket.
Okay. All right. That's kind of good.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm reading these in my inhuman form voice. If you limit any speech, all speech is at risk. Who chooses what is allowed to... Who chooses what is allowable speech? Well, as long as it's my group, then limit the others as my group sees fit.
That's a slippery slope.
Limiting a group of individuals' right to speak will only galvanize them further.
That's true. But the rest of it's a slippery slope fallacy.
He's
basically saying that if you
it could get so much worse.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, I mean, it can, but it's fallacious to say that. It's not really well-founded, but...
So it says, okay, these are kind of lame. Let's go to a different episode.
Go to a political one or something. Yeah, it's something way more political. I mean, free speech is already political, but...
Okay, let's see his vaccine comments since we started
there. Oh, yeah, there you go. Oh, man.
The White House commented on what I said about vaccines.
That's so funny. Fauci hit you up.
Well, he didn't hit me up necessarily. He disagreed with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got vaxxed up, baby.
Did you?
I got one shot in the arm.
But didn't you already get COVID?
Yeah, I had Rona. I had it in October.
So why did you get a vaccination?
Okay.
So why did you get the vaccination?
That's a weird question.
He's got this look on his face where he just looks like, I don't want to say smug because that comes off like as me not liking him and I'm indifferent. But he just looks like proud and also arrogant.
He's like, the White House hit me up, son.
Oh, my God.
It is pretty funny, though. Okay, so...
Why should you be surprised about that? He's had like political candidates on a show.
I don't know.
I'm on every... Okay, well, these people are just quoting Joe Rogan.
Oh, that's regular.
Okay, this is ridiculous. Okay. Why are these... Literally every comment is
dude, that's YouTube comments.
Is a quote from the video. I don't get it.
I know Kyle Kulinski from the Secular Talk Show was on he's frequently on Joe Rogan podcast, and there's always like some sort of comments against him. That's usually where I see a lot of like weird things.
So this is from the video Demi Lovato and Joe Rogan on Chris Pratt being non-liberal and a conservative. So my take on this is two conservatives talk about another conservative being conservative.
Okay.
It's really Demi Lovato and Joe Rogan on Chris Pratt being non-liberal and a conservative. I'd say there's a decent amount of conservatives who pretend to be liberal in Hollywood. That's what somebody said.
Conservatives pretend to be liberal in Hollywood. I don't know. I've seen enough conservatives like in the, you know, in popular media to be like, I don't know about that. Maybe. I know Chris Pratt tries to like hide his conservative beliefs a little bit. So I guess maybe, but like,
That's bordering on like the Jewish anti-Semitism of Hollywood.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's conspiratorial. Like, oh yeah, like, the liberal media, man.
But again, like, it's just, this is not a conspiracy. That's the thing. Like, of course you would have more liberal people in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's
just
art.
By essence. I mean, yeah, it's art. Like, screw it, any sort of field in general, if it has like some sort of like studying for it, usually anything that goes through college or some sort of like training in that aspect, you're gonna have most likely liberal people at the end of the day.
Yeah, farmers like, aren't necessarily too keen on making
it's
films.
Like it's like, oh my god, I don't know, like liberals and farmer communities, oh man, they're so low they have to hide their, like, it's like whatever, it's like it's stupid. It's like, where are all my liberal farmers at? It's like, what the, it's like, I'm over here. It's,
do you think there are any liberal farmers in America?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, like, I'm sure about that.
It's but they're too busy farming. So you
exactly,
they're
too busy
it.
Farming. Yeah,
fucking working their ass off.
Yeah, I mean, there's different and that's at the end of the day, it's like, this might be a little controversial, but at the same time, it's like American politics is so much grounded in its own identity. It's very different. Like, you know, common right wing stuff in America is very not, it's not very natural for the rest of the world to a certain extent.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, they're going to stand out. Like, they're going to stand out. They're not going to be popular because the whole ideology is not very popular.
It's like a worldwide. Bizarre Christian nationalism.
Yeah. I mean, America might be a little popular, but like at the end of the day, it's also not that much. You know, I wouldn't say they control the majority of the population. You know, maybe the, you know, politically they have some gain, but most of the population, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, they don't agree, right?
No, I wouldn't say that, no.
Well, 50% of them did, apparently.
Well, what? You're talking about voting stuff?
Yeah, like 48% or whatever.
But that's the thing, like, voting stuff with, like, compare voting stuff with just like statistics on what Americans believe in. Most Americans don't believe in that stuff. They don't vote. So it's hard to, you know, again, that's all where the political control comes in, because, like, they don't have the, you know, the right wing does have, you know, a good amount of political control, but I don't think they would. I doubt they have the majority in beliefs. The statistics don't support that. Majority of Americans agree on some stuff. I would say like 2/3, maybe not even 2/3, maybe like a little less than 2/3, but overall majority.
1/4.
Like, and then, you know, cut, you know, get that conservative amount, which is going to be less than half in my opinion, not like considering just people, not just voting, and cut those into different sections of like, are they Trumpist? Are they some other type of conservative or whatever? And like, overall, these beliefs are minimal. But they have a lot of political power.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Rewind and pause. Did you say trumpets?
Trumpists.
Oh.
Like the trumps.
I thought you said trumpets.
Yeah. Like, the way that guy speaks, he might as well be a trumpet.
Okay. Yeah. So here's one. Who cares if Chris is a Christian and a Republican? Leave him alone. Everyone is allowed to have their own opinions. Shouldn't get hate for it. He doesn't go around throwing his opinions down people's throats like other Hollywood people do. That's bullshit. I've heard so much about Chris Pratt being like anti-abortion.
I heard he's actually quiet. Is he actually advocating for like verbally? Like,
I've heard, I think, yeah. I mean, okay. I knew he was conservative.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it was, but he like attended an event or something. He's not outspoken like Ted Nugent.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I like guns and deer.
He is like openly against certain things like that. Yeah. And I guess, yeah, this person is right. He is allowed to have his own shit. Yeah. But He should be questioning the ethics of his, some of his values, maybe.
Yeah, that's, again, that's going back to the whole same thing. It's the ideology is not an okay ideology. Like, this is like, we need to stop playing CNN. Like, some opinions are not good, just flat out. They're not, you know? So if you're anti-abortion, that's, again, that's such a niche belief that's the kind of, you know, at least in the Western world, more American. It's niche overall. So it's like, yeah, that's not an okay opinion overall to have. You know, I mean, by I shouldn't say anti-abortion.
Pro-life.
Yeah, pro-life, right. You know, you can be anti-abortion, but, you know, pro-choice. I would say that's what they should really be. If you're a conservative and you're against abortion, just be pro-choice. You can still be anti-abortion, right? That's fine. But so many other niche beliefs that are not good. They're just flat out not good, no matter what side you're on. Like, you can be a right-wing person without having some of those beliefs, in my opinion. At least, you know, coming from, looking at Europe or whatever. But
if I was a celebrity, I wouldn't, like, talk about my political standing.
It's divisive.
Yeah. I'm like, that's not, you want to talk about the movie? We can talk about the movie. That stuff is in my life, and that's personal, and I'm keeping it to myself.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
then all you get is, like, more backlash of fucking people that don't agree with you, because you can't please everybody anyways.
It also gets, like, you also start getting, like, celebrities, like, people looking at celebrities as, like, political candidates. Like,
exactly.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, it's like, get the hell out of here.
He actually is a political candidate now for governor of Texas, I believe.
Okay. Well, he's not a presidential candidate.
Matthew McConaughey is cool as fuck, though.
Yeah. Oh. There could be an argument made for that from, like, somebody that is far left, or not even far left, but pretty progressive would say, well, just because you don't think you're political doesn't mean you're not. Just because you don't talk politics and you have all this money as a somebody in movies and whatever it is in Hollywood, you have all this money, you have all this influence, and what? You're just not gonna say anything because you're privileged enough to not have to say anything.
Yeah,
and that's fair. Itself is not right. But I agree. Like, I wouldn't want to say anything either because I don't want to divide. And it depends on the circumstance.
Yeah.
And people's careers get thrown down the drain when they say one thing nowadays. So it is understandable to some degree.
Yeah.
But
like the coronavirus comment.
Yeah.
I'm not saying his career is getting thrown down the drain, but he's definitely getting backlash from it. He's like, fucking White House hit me up.
Yeah.
But he seemed kind of happy about it.
Yeah.
And he did. Yeah. He was like,
He had a
weird
grin.
Face. On, yeah, he had a weird look on his face I've never seen before.
Oh my God.
This is funny.
Anyway, should we do final thoughts?
Yeah, let's do final thoughts.
Zach?
He's eating ice over here.
Yeah, I'm eating ice, and it tastes delicious. This is fun. I'm glad we're doing it again. Peace.
Everybody check out UA Philosophy Conference 2021. It's somewhere on YouTube. Go on UA. You'll find it. I'm like in the middle of the video. If you guys want to know more about the theory of will and philosophy of mind, go for it. It's not the greatest paper. I'm definitely reworking it to publish in journals, but it's a cool theory for now.
We should talk about that more at another episode.
Yeah. If we do a conscious episode, it's perfect for it.
I'll read it and then we can talk about that.
I need to send you the thing is I want to send it to paper, but like there's just so much that was left out. It's like, ugh.
Do you have a copy of the first draft?
I mean, I have the copy of the sent draft, which is not I'm not satisfied with.
But
it.
The copy that you are satisfied with, did you?
Oh no, I still need to work on that. A pure satisfaction of that theory is going to be like 40 pages at least. So
damn.
No, I'm not. It's just too much to talk about. Cause it's introducing a theory I don't know if I'm going to get into it right now, but it's its own theory. It's connected with other theories and it's a lot to cover that I can't cover in less than 20 pages.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. My last thought will actually be, a thought of somebody from this Joe Rogan video comment section. And it's, big tech and cancel culture will consume themselves soon enough.
Okay. The prophet has spoken.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye, everybody.